Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Today on More to Life, sibling revelry. We'll explore the challenge of helping your kids get along with each other because you don't have to settle for bickering and tension. I'll show you how to overcome the conflict that robs your family's peace. Stick around. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Hey there, everybody. You are listening to More to Life, the show that helps you live a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we are helping you make the ideal real here as we talk about sibling revelry. You know, the church tells us that children are a gift and that the best gift we can give our children is a brother or a sister. And that's true in theory, but I know a lot of people who would take issue with that personally. We want to make that ideal real, though, today in your life and in the lives of your children as we explore ways to get along with your adult siblings, ways for you to help your children get along with each other so they can grow up to be best friends for life.
So you'll let them grow up instead of killing them because they're driving you crazy with their sibling rivalry?
All that good stuff. And one of the things that, actually there are two things that occasioned this segment today or this topic today on the show. First of all, Penn State just had a press release. Penn State University is, I guess, beta testing a new program, a school-based program called Siblings Are Special. It's a 12-session after-school program to help brothers and sisters learn to get along with each other. And there's they have three parent nights where the kids present the things that they've learned to moms and dads kind of learn how to support their children and the skills that they're learning in this Siblings Are Special program. But, you know, I think that's terrific because we need more initiatives of this kind to help parents really teach their children how to get along with each other because, you know, it's not just about having children or it's not just about giving our children the gift of a brother or a sister. We've got to teach our kids how to appreciate and take care of that gift that their brother or sister is. And let's face it, I mean, when it's done well, you really can't have a better friend than a brother or a sister. You know, I've seen that, and so I know that to be true. But unfortunately, like I said, I know a lot of people who do not have the best relationship with their adult siblings, who are estranged from their siblings. Personally, I don't have a relationship with my sister. I was an only child, actually, for, gosh, well, until I was 16.
And then yeah, I was going to say 16 or 17 years.
And then
yeah.
My parents adopted my sister, who was then 10 years younger than me. And, you know, we got along okay, but when we both grew up, we just sort of lost touch, and then she became estranged from the family for various reasons. And I'm sad about that, but it is what it is. You know, it doesn't have to be that way, though. And we're here to kind of help you teach your kids how to get along with each other. Because I have to say, I'm really pleased that our kids get along with each other as well as they do.
Yeah.
It's taking a lot of work, but they really responded well to that. And
yeah, can we underline that, though?
Yeah.
The work that it takes. Like, people just think that they just happen to get along really, really well.
No.
And, you know, you are just so lucky that your kids love each other. Like, it happened because, you know, God did us a special favor. Well, of course, he did, but he made us do the work to make that happen. And
he didn't do us any favors that he's not doing for any of you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the grace is there to tap into. The skills are there, and we're there to help you do it. You know, I had a heartbreaking conversation with a woman this weekend. And we were, you know, just kind of chatting, sitting in the bleachers, watching our kids get ready for their show this weekend. And she was looking at the fact that, you know, we have we had two girls in this skate dance dream show this weekend, our 17-year-old and our 7-year-old. And I happened to mention that the 20-year-old was coming to see the girls in the show, and she's like, and you have a 20-year-old, too? She, oh, my goodness. She said, I just can't do it. She said, I am barely dealing with the one I have. She said, and I never, ever wanted to have any more kids, not because I knew that parenting was going to be hard, but because my sister and I hated each other so much, this lady said, that I never wanted to put any kid of mine through having a sibling. So I only have the one kid because I never want her to be as miserable and as tortured as my sister and I were because we just despised each other. And it just broke my heart. It just broke my heart to hear her say, and therefore this generation, no siblings allowed because it's better to have none than to go through what she went through.
Well, it is sad. And I have to say, growing up as an only, like I said, I was an only child until I was 16 when my parents adopted my sister. And when I was growing up as an only, people would sometimes ask me, you know, well, wouldn't you like to have a brother or a sister? And you know, I did not have a single friend who was not tormented by their brother or sister, who did not hate their sibling. I didn't have a single friend in Catholic school.
It's funny though because your best friend growing up, who is now a priest,
yeah,
he and his brother despised
each other,
and now they are incredibly good friends. It took 40 years.
Well, no, I mean, really, that happened in the last year.
Yeah, it's taken 40 plus years, but they have gotten to a place now where they are really very, very close to each other. And if they hadn't been brothers in the first place, they would not have the friendship they have now.
So, you know, I guess the moral of that story is it can work out at any time. You know, it's never too late. So if you are having difficult sibling relationships with your adult siblings and you'd like to try to heal that, give us a call at 877-573-7825. If you are struggling with your kids and the bickering is getting to you, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. There are strategies that we can teach you to help your kids get along better with each other. I think one of the first mistakes that parents make when it comes to the whole sibling rivalry thing or the siblings fighting with each other is that they think that it's normal. In fact, some experts will even tell you, oh, that's just the way brothers and sisters are. You know what? That's not the way brothers and sisters are supposed to be. We are responsible for teaching our children to get along with each other. It is possible to teach them to get along with each other. No, everything's not going to be perfectly peaceful all the time. No, we are not suggesting that you know the children that you have will always just love each other perfectly. No, but there's a lot you can do to minimize the conflict, to teach healthy problem-solving skills, to teach ways for your kids to enjoy each other's company, to work together as a team, and to really be happy that they exist in your family and are part of your household. If any of that sounds good, then give us a call. And even if it sounds like, we don't know, you know what you're talking about, pop check, that's not possible, fine, challenge us, give us a call. I will be happy to show you that this stuff really works. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
And it's not all, you know, this selfless parenting thing. Let us face it. When your kids are not getting along, whether your kids are twin one-year-olds or your kids are 60 and still killing each other, it breaks your heart as a parent and it makes your days miserable. So for your own self, for your own peace of mind, for the betterment of your days, let's turn this sibling rivalry stuff around.
877-573-7825. What's the hardest part of having a sibling yourself? We can work that out. Oh, and what are the fights your kids have with each other that drive you the craziest? We're talking about sibling revelry today, celebrating siblings on Mortal Life. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord, and we'll go right to the phones. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence today, and we thank you and praise you for your blessing and your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we thank you especially for the gift of family. The gift of family in which you reveal your love and your plan for all of society to be a community of love, to be mutually self-donative, to be a place where we learn to celebrate all the values that enable us to live life as a gift. And Lord, although we recognize that's the ideal, in reality, many of us struggle with our brothers and sisters, either as adults because we've become estranged or have hurt each other in some way that is difficult to heal, or as parents, we don't know how to help our kids get along better than they do, and we know that the greatest gift that we could give our children as a brother or a sister, but sometimes we don't know how to teach our children to appreciate that gift and take care of that gift. And so now we come before you, Lord, and we ask that you would give us your wisdom, that you would fill our hearts and homes with your love, so that we might be able to be families that support and encourage each other to greater wholeness and holiness, to living out the love that comes from your own heart, and so that we can truly be brothers and sisters to one another in the best way possible, and teach our children to be brothers and sisters to each other in you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Blessed Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Well, we're talking with you today about sibling revelry. As we celebrate siblings, join us in the conversation. What's the hardest part of your adult relationships with your siblings? We want to help try to work through that with you. And also, if you're a parent of multiple children, whether that's two or more, what are the fights that your kids have with each other that drive you the craziest? And you'd like to try to get a little more peace. 877-573-7825.
Let's take a call now from Stephanie in Ohio.
Hey there, Stephanie. What's up? Welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for taking my call, Greg and Lisa.
Sure thing.
Actually, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I've got a question.
Yeah.
And how do you handle when there has been sibling problems from childhood where the parent has picked their favorite, and it actually pits one sibling against another, and then, of course, that carries well into adulthood, and then from there, the parent has actually outright admitted that they have their favorite. And in that admission, it's the good kid who has done what is right and has tried to walk with the Lord is not the favorite.
Yeah.
How does that kid who...
Would that be you, Stephanie, or...?
No, actually, it's my spouse. And it's very painful for me as the wife because I'm watching my husband go through this, and it's very painful. And... we read about it even in Scripture where, you know, the different characters in Scripture where the father would pick their favorite and the other siblings, you know, Joseph, for instance, you know, where the siblings do evil things to their, to their other siblings because they wanted their father's favor. They wanted the father's blessing. So we know throughout even Scripture the importance of the parental blessing, and when that is not received, it causes a deep hurt. I believe we're created by God to desire our parents' love and to hunger for that, to strive for that. But when that need is clearly not going to be met, how do we heal from that, and how do we get that need met that God did create in us for that need to be met?
I guess the question here that I would have for you, though, is are you concerned more about your husband's relationship with his brother or sister, or is it more you're concerned about your husband's relationship with his parents, or third, is it more you're trying to help your husband deal with whatever the kind of emotional pain that he's got from this dynamic in his family?
I would think all the above. With my husband, they're trying to force relationship with my husband and his sister, and that's just not going to happen. We hold different values. We see the world in totally, and there's that competitive nature that has been there since childhood, where the sister competes, you know, and she flaunts. And now my husband's parents, they have done that as well throughout the years. They compete and they flaunt, and they make it very well known that this other sibling is the favorite. They're going to be the favorite. That's not going to change.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously that's an extraordinarily painful and unfortunate dynamic that exists. I mean, one thing that might be helpful is realizing that, believe it or not, the favorite sibling isn't being done any favors either. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that role, and they didn't ask for it, and they often don't want it. But once they get it, it's hard to let go of it. You know what I mean? Because once you have that, once you become the favorite, then you look at the other kids who aren't, and you realize how bad it could be, and you don't want to lose that status. So it puts an awful lot of pressure on you to continue to perform even when you don't want to, and it comes with a lot of resentment as well. So I realize that kind of looking at it from the outside, you might say, oh yeah, well, poor baby, but the truth is there's a whole lot of suffering going on both parts of this. Beyond that, what I would suggest is, if it's possible at all to have a relationship with the sibling, then what I would do is I would try to approach it directly and have your husband say to her, I'd like to move past what our parents did to both of us, and I'd like to be able to have an adult relationship with you. Where we just, relate to, and even if he doesn't say this to her, if he can have this mindset that says that we don't have to be the people that our parents set us up to be, and so based on that attitude, you might not be best friends with his sister, with your sister-in-law, but you can certainly start to approach her a little bit differently, where he intentionally steps out of the competition, where he's just not willing to play the game. It's the only way to win it is to not play it. Where you guys can decide how much can you be around her without getting sucked into the drama. What I mean by that is, how much time or what contexts can you be around this sister-in-law of yours or his sister, without having to spend the rest of the day putting yourselves back together once you've spent any time with her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can limit your relationship to those contexts and just build from there, as time goes by, then maybe you could have a relationship and heal some of this. But the only way out of it is to get out of the mindset that I have to be the person that my parents set me up to be, and I have to have the relationship with my sibling that my parents set us up to have. If he can step out of that and stop playing the game and then be comfortable with whatever relationship develops as a result of that, that's the path to healing right there. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Not at all. Yeah. And look, we have more suggestions along these lines in the book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. We do talk about adult-child relationships and just kind of how to deal more effectively with those kinds of charitable boundaries that can allow a relationship to grow over time. So again, that's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's on our website at moretoliferadio.com. Thanks for the
call,
Stephanie. Yeah, you bet. God bless.
All right, bye-bye.
And your family do our prayers, too. So your guys are on our prayer list now. So, Stephanie, is just calling up with a very painful situation. I don't know why parents do this to their kids, but, it happens, and so all we can do is deal with it. But the good news is, when you have an adult sibling, you don't have to have the kind of relationship you were set up to have. You're adults now. And it's hard to not fall into those same old roles. You have to be conscious and very mindful about the kind of relationship you do want to have and what that requires of each of you to make it happen. But it is possible to rewrite that script, certainly with God's grace and a little effort on your part. 877-573-7825. We're talking about celebrating siblings today on our Sibling Revelry show on More to Life. We all know that ideally the church tells us that the best gift we can give our children is a brother or sister. Well, that's the ideal. We want to make the ideal real, because unfortunately, a lot of us struggle either with our adult siblings, or as parents, we struggle to help our kids really get along with each other and have the kind of relationships now that will set them up for a healthy relationship with their adult siblings later. So if we got two questions for you. First of all, what's the hardest part of your relationship with your adult siblings? So if you're struggling with them, we want to help you through it. Secondly, what are the fights that your kids have with each other that drive you the craziest, and you just want to get a handle on? Either way, give us a call. We are celebrating siblings today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. When we come back, we're going to talk about three mistakes that parents make in raising siblings and three solutions to those mistakes. Plus, we're going to be sharing more of your insights and helping you solve your sibling problems coming up right after this.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values.
Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Is Islam a religion of peace? Can Islam tolerate democracy? We'll find out on August 10th when Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch faces off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Can Islam tolerate religious liberty? There'll be other Catholic and Muslim presenters, and Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass afterwards. It'll be August 10th on the campus of EMU, $40, a box lunch included. Go to AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201.
Now at the Ave Maria online store, Catholicism, an adult study program on DVD. This 10-hour, 5-DVD set is created and led by prominent theologian and sought-after speaker Father Robert Barron. Catholicism is filmed on location in high def with comprehensive catechesis appropriate for RCIA and other adult formation programs. And at the Ave Maria online store, it's 30% off the regular retail price. The biggest discount on Catholicism is only at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life, the show that helps you live a more abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we are celebrating siblings on More to Life as we look at sibling revelry, the gift that brothers and sisters really, really can be to each other if we as parents do our bit in teaching them how to appreciate and take care of the gift they've been given of a brother or a sister. Two questions we got for you today. First of all, what's the hardest part of your adult sibling relationships? You know, are you struggling in some way with those brothers or sisters that, you know, that you'd like to be better friends with, but for whatever reason, you're just not able to bridge the gap? Or every time you do, it ends up in World War III? And what about you parents out there who are raising kids, and you're wondering, how can I help these kids get along better with each other? You know, are there certain fights that they have that just drive you crazy and you don't know how to resolve those? Or do they just bicker all the time and you think it's got to be better than this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talked to a mother this weekend who said she can't wait till school starts so she can get her two bickering kids out from under her feet again. She said it's really nice at the beginning of the summer. Everybody's so relieved to be away from school. But by now, they're bored, they're disorganized, they can't stand it anymore, and they take it out on each other, and she can't wait to let it be the teacher's problem again.
Yeah, we can't do that. You know, I mean, well, we could. But then we honestly are failing our responsibility if we take that role, and because parents...
And it's going to keep coming back to bite us,
yeah.
Over and over.
Well, and again, the church reminds us over and over again as parents that we are our children's primary educators. And that doesn't just mean academics, okay? When we talk about a right to life in education, the church doesn't mean the right to life and then going to school. It means the right to life and learning all the things that enable us to live that life as a gift. And a big part of being primary educators is teaching our kids how to get along with each other. So they really can appreciate the gift that their brother or sister is.
And I have to say, it's a good foundation for helping them be able to sustain lifelong relationships in a marriage, in a religious order, in places where they are going to have to deal with people they're living with for the rest of their lives. It's good to teach them those relationship skills.
Well,
from the
start.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, everybody thinks about, you know, relationships with parents, that tends to predicate marriage success, you know, that you have a really, you know, you kind of attracted to somebody that's more like your mom or dad.
Mom or like your dad, yeah.
But you know what? That's true, but sibling relationships impact that too because those are the peer relationships, and you can sometimes be attracted to somebody like that troubled sibling.
That troubled sibling. Or there was a great study a couple of years ago that made me happy that said, you know, if a girl has big brothers who treat her well, it's great for helping her, you know, sift out those, you know, junky guys that come along that you really would never want your daughters to date. And I'm sure that's true for guys and their sisters as well. If you have a sister who doesn't, you know, do everything for your son, but is there to challenge him a little bit, love him a lot, be his friend, that helps him pick the right woman when it comes, you know, time for that. So it's a very important lifelong skill-building relationship.
Another dimension to the idea that families are the school of love. 877-573-7825. What's the toughest part of your adult sibling relationships? And what are the fights that your kids have with each other that drive you the craziest? We want to help you get more peace in your family.
Let's go right now to Michaela in California, listening on the Ave Maria app.
Hey there, Michaela. Welcome to More to Life. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Hey, how are you guys? You know, your advice over the last year and a half has been amazing.
Thanks for listening on that app every day.
It was pretty good before the last year and a half, but no,
well,
I think
she just found me up.
No, I'm just teasing.
So a couple of months ago, I did post about me sending my kid away for 3 weeks because he was just to my mom and he was driving me nuts.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I did send him, but I did role play the whole getting on the plane, and he did amazing. Anyway, he was there, he got to see my grandmother and my brother, and my mom talked to my brother about, you know, why don't you and Michaela talk, and he goes, well, we just don't see eye to eye on certain things. And what I think he meant was the circumstances around our father's death. My father was not in my life. He was an addict, and he died of a heroin overdose. My brother was raised by him, and so obviously he was closer to him. And as cold as this sounds, my opinion is, well, he was offered help many times by my mother, by other girlfriends, by his mother. He never chose to get out of the lifestyle. It sucks, but you know what? If he wouldn't have been in the lifestyle, he wouldn't have died that way. And I have anger. I don't know if I have empathy or sympathy for my grandmother or my brother, and I should, but I don't. And my brother's just having a hard time dealing with it. It's been about 6 years.
Okay. So you feel like maybe, and it says on the board that you're half-brother, or it doesn't really matter. But
it's my half-brother. It's my father. We're my father's children.
Gotcha. Okay. But your brother, you feel like your brother kind of resents you for your attitude toward your father's death and his, well, the way he treated you during his life as well.
Right.
You know, again, I think this goes to, in part, what I was just sharing with our previous caller, that we as adult children don't have to have the kind of relationship with each other that we were set up to have by our parents. And, you know, I think that this is one of those times where, you know, as the more faithful sibling, that you can maybe reach out a little bit and let him know that you'd like to have a relationship, number one, and that as the opportunity develops, that you'd like to maybe a different kind of relationship than you guys have had in the past. It can start simply by just sending a card or sending an email and just kind of being chatty and keeping up with your life and that sort of thing. Just letting him know that you consider him part of your life and that you're interested in having him play a role. It sounds like they live far away, though. Is that true? So you don't have a lot of opportunity to get together?
Yeah, I live in California. They live in Colorado.
Okay, so there's some distance there. But I do think that, using email, using, you know, the mail, snail mail, and those sorts of things, just reaching out and kind of starting out a little more superficially, just saying, you know, I'm thinking about you, and, for example, my son's recent trip out there just really made me start thinking about you, and I'd really like to have more contact with you, and I'm going to do my bit to try to let you know that I'd like you to be part of my life. And then just by keeping that aspect up, seeing what develops over time.
And if the conversation does come up, you know, even though you're trying to build a new friendship, a new relationship outside of who Dad was and how he passed, if it does come up again, you know, Michaela, you're very blessed in that you have your faith and you have a heavenly father that's allowing you to put this in perspective. It sounds like your brother's coming from a place where he can't put it in perspective, where it's Dad made these mistakes, he's gone now, but I still have a God in heaven who loves me and always will and is working out my life, and I can love Dad from a distance, but accept the fact that he was a very broken person. Your brother's coming from a place where he's still hurting and can't connect the dots and doesn't know how to get the daddy that he needs, because daddy will never be that, and daddy's gone now and can never be that, and made some bad choices, and your brother's still saying, if I had been different, maybe daddy could be different. You have a gift to give him, not to beat him over the head with, but at some point, if you can get your relationship more on a talking, sharing level, to be able to say, hey, I love you, this is how I deal with it. You know, I've got this relationship in a bigger father, a greater father, a perfect father, and so I can accept that Dad was broken and Dad wasn't what we wanted him to be, and I can put that at arm's length so that I can get on with my life. And maybe if you kind of talk to God yourself, you're saying to your brother, and gave this a shot, you'd be able to get some healing for yourself. So don't be afraid to share the relationship you have with a perfect father that allows you to put the rest of your life in perspective, because he's really hurting. And rather than get annoyed with him, and I'm sure it can be a very annoying situation, try to see it through the eyes that he's still going through a lot of pain because he doesn't have what you have.
Does that make sense, Michaela?
It does. I mean, my grandma understands, I think she does. She doesn't get mad at me about it, that I just, like I said, like I'm cold, like I just don't care. And that's not true, but I don't want to get emotionally involved in
it.
It's
not that you don't care. It's that you have to keep some emotional distance so that you don't get sucked into the pain and the drama of the abandonment and all that hurt that you've gone through. And you know, but again, I think that what Lisa's really trying to point out here is that, you know, your brother being closer there has a harder time admitting that there was something wrong with the guy, because if he does, then he in his mind, doesn't get to ever have that relationship that he always fantasized about being able to have with Dad. When we don't get the love that we want from Mom and Dad, sometimes it's very hard to admit that there's something wrong with them, because if we do, then we'll never get it. We feel like we're doing something terribly wrong by admitting that. And so, you know, that's what he's afraid of from his perspective. But just for now, reach out, try to have that pleasant, superficial relationship, see if it can develop over time. And as you have the opportunity to share how you've been able to keep a healthy emotional distance from some of that stuff, then I'm sure that he'll be able to grow and benefit from that as well. Michaela, thank you so much for the call. Thanks so much for tuning in regularly. We're glad that we've been able to be a help to you in the past. Don't hesitate to call us again, and we're going to add you guys, your whole family, to our Mortal Life prayer list as well. God bless.
Thanks.
We're talking with you about sibling revelry as we celebrate siblings today. Let's talk about those difficult adult sibling relationships, and also your challenge to get your kids to get along with each other so that they can grow up to have healthy relationships with their brothers and sisters. 877-573-7825. Stick around for more great ideas and more of your calls coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Is Islam a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in a Nation Divided series. It'll be at Eastern Michigan University when Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch faces off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Why hasn't Islam produced any democracies? It's debated by Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center and Turkish columnist Mustafa Akyol. Other Muslim and Catholic presenters will be there, and Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass. Registration for the conference is $40 and includes a box lunch. You can go to AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred discussion will be grateful for free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register now, and I'll see you there.
Who were the first people to view the risen Christ? They were Mary Magdalene and the women who came to finish anointing his body, a process that had been discontinued when the Sabbath began on the evening of Good Friday. The women informed the apostles who were the next to see Jesus. Peter first, because his testimony strengthened the faith of his companions. The apostles' faith was severely tested by the death of Christ. So much so, they were not easily convinced by the women's report. Even after seeing Jesus, some apostles thought the apparition was a ghost. Thus, to claim the resurrection was a fable created by the Christian community does not hold up. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
This is Dr. Greg Popchak. Is it possible to raise happy, healthy, holy children in today's world? You bet, if you take a few hints from the ultimate parent, Holy Mother Church. The first hint our Mother Church gives us is to be so attached to Christ that we look more like Him than we look to our peers. Our job as Catholic parents is to foster a family identity that our children want to be part of. Second, our Mother Church is faithful about family meals. Anytime we call on Him, Jesus is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Make your mealtime special, and make yourself available to your children. Third, Christ has very high standards for us, but when we mess up, our Mother Church is an extremely gentle disciplinarian. When we go to confession, we're smothered in love and mercy. The only thing we're asked in return is to spend time rebuilding our relationship with God and others. And Catholic parents should ask the same of their children when confronting wrongs. If it works on the whole of humanity, it'll work for your family. For more on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and on today's show, it's Sibling Revelry as we celebrate siblings today. The Church tells us that the best gift that we can give our children is a brother or a sister, and ideally, that's true. But we're talking to a lot of people today who are having difficult relationships with their adult siblings, and we want to help you get along better with your brothers and sisters and also raise up kids who really do know how to take care of the gift they've been given. You know, you don't have to wait to adulthood for your brothers and sisters, you know, for brothers and sisters to work it all out. We can do a whole lot as parents on the front end of this to make sure that our kids really do see each other as friends for life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. What's the hardest part of your adult sibling relationships, and what are those fights that your kids have with each other that are driving you crazy? You just don't know how to manage well. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
We're taking a call now from Catherine, listening in Dallas, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey there, Catherine. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Well, hi. Well, you can help me out in my relationship with my sister. She and I are in our, well, I'm in my 60s. She's in her 50s. We're 8 years different. I'm the oldest and she's the youngest. And we're struggling with, she won't talk to me.
Mm.
I was raised as a Christian in the Episcopal faith. I've been converted now as a Catholic since 96. But she was not raised as a Christian. Our parents turned away from the church, and she's kind of taken the approach that, well, no religion is best. Makes it very hard to find common ground to talk and try to reconcile things, especially since, as she's the younger one, it's turned out she seems to think I'm judgmental. She thinks that she's the youngest, so she doesn't think I see her as having valid opinions. And I tried to tell her that's not true, but I don't know what to do next.
And what's the nature of your relationship with her now? I mean, what kind of contact do you still have?
A text message occasionally to let her know the status of my mother, who's in a nursing home in this area. My sister lives in Arizona.
Okay, so there's some distance there then, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I guess I would offer some similar advice to our previous caller who was kind of struggling with her sister-in-law. That, you know, you're going to have to start out small here. You guys have a lot of history, and whenever you talk about any of that history, it's going to come back and come back ugly. You need to build up rapport before you're going to be able to talk about any of that past stuff effectively. And so, you know, I would increase the text or the emails, just again, trying to keep a more superficial, more chatty relationship right now, just to leave the door open a crack. that something might be able to develop as things go on. If she brings up some of the past conflicts that you guys have had, I want you to just focus not on trying to defend yourself or explain it away, but just empathizing. You know, you don't have to agree with somebody to empathize with them. You can say, you know, listen, I really hear how frustrated you are about that whole thing, and I really hear the pain in your voice, or I really, you know, I can read how upset you still are about these things that happened to us or these things that I did, and I feel really badly about all that. You don't necessarily have to agree with her interpretation of it. You don't necessarily have to agree with what she wants to make of it, but you can empathize with it. And that's going to take a little bit of strength on your part, but I think that if you want to heal the relationship, especially if she's saying that you don't value her opinions, empathizing with her is going to go a long way to healing that. And then once you're able to establish at least that much of a relationship, then you can probably start to talk about some of these other things and share your side of the stuff too. But then that's sort of the third stage. So step one, reaching out to her more regularly with more chatty, superficial things, just letting her know that you'd like to be part of her life or like her to be part of your life. Number two, if she does bring up some of this more emotional stuff as a way of testing the waters, just empathize. Don't defend. Don't explain. Don't counterattack. Just empathize. And then once that's been established, that you're, you know, willing to hear what she has to say, whether you agree with it or not, then she'll open the door at some point to ask you what your thoughts are on it, I suspect. But that's going to be a little bit ways off. So start with those steps and call us back, and we'd love to hear from you on how this is developing. Okay, Catherine?
That sounds great. That sounds like a good path to take. I know she wants to talk about that stuff, so if I just empathize as opposed to discussing it per se.
Yeah. Don't jump ahead, because she'll think that when you said that the thing that kind of made me chuckle a little bit, honestly, you said, well, she accuses you of not valuing her opinions, and then you said, and I try to tell her that that's not true. You catch that? So if that dynamic's existing, then, you know, she's just going to get upset with you about explaining or trying to discuss it. So just empathize with her and let her know that you do, in fact, value her opinions, not by telling her, but by letting her experiencing that. All right, Catherine, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're talking with you about sibling relationships and celebrating those siblings. If you are struggling with an adult sibling relationship, give us a call. We can give you some thoughts for moving forward on that. But if you're a parent who would like to prevent the kind of stuff you're hearing from all these other calls, and you'd like to make sure that your kids know how to get along with each other now and in the future.
And in the future, we think that, you know, you just kind of like let them work it out and then, you know, they'll deal with it. They'll mature out of it. Really, if today's calls don't show us that if we don't help them get the skills now, they're not going to be able to have the skills to work it out later on. Let's do this for our kids. Let's make it a gift for our kids. Help them work out those sibling relationships now.
Well, let's go talk to Sarah now, calling from Catholic Radio in Acadiana in Lafayette, Louisiana. Hey, Sarah, welcome to More to Life.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, what's up?
Great. Well, what is going on is I'm from a big family of seven, and it was five boys, two girls. And, you know, we all have different opinions of the way we were raised with our mother and father. Now, they're both deceased. They died very young. But I was probably the one that had the worst relationship with my father. For some reason, I just was his punching bag. And this happened three or four times that he would get so angry and he hit me. And, you know, I used to say, oh, I was not physically abused. It only happened three or four times. And, of course, I went and I talked with a wonderful priest, and, you know, he said, Sarah, that is abuse. It doesn't matter if it happened once or if it happened three times. And, you know, my siblings don't want me to even say that. They don't even want me to acknowledge it. And it really distresses me so much because I can't get their acknowledgement of, you know, the facts that really, you know, what happened. And I don't know. And I know I need to get past it, but I don't know how.
When you say you don't know how to get past it, do you mean you don't know how to get past the abuse, or do you mean you don't know how to get past the fact that they don't acknowledge it?
About the fact that they don't acknowledge it. And you know, I don't know why I feel like I'm, you know, they witnessed it. And, you know, a brother had to pull him off of me one time. And, you know, he was, my father was going through a lot of stress and financial difficulty at the time. And, so, you know, it's like nobody else on the outside can know about this. We were perfect to the rest of the world, and, you know, this was our secret. And so I don't know. It hurts me deeply that, you know, I can't even discuss it with them or talk to them about it. They just think he was the greatest man in the world.
You know, you're at a place in your journey here, your healing journey, where you really need to have this validated, because, you know, when you come out of that mindset that, oh, you know, that, oh, my family was perfect and we had to keep this family secret, you know, we had mm-hmm. we had to pretend that everything was better than it really was, it's like coming out of a trance. And it's very important to have this reality validated, because you feel a little crazy. You know, it's like, well, you know, which was true? The idea that everything was perfect, or this feeling that I have now that, wow, you know, there was a whole lot going on here that nobody was aware of. And when you go back to your siblings, especially when you have as big a family as you do, and you have, you know, your six brothers and sisters saying, no, Sarah, you're crazy, that didn't happen, you know, then you do start feeling a little bit crazy. And it's hard to heal then, because it's you can't heal what you can't acknowledge, you know.
Yes.
And so at this point in your life, you may need to set some boundaries with your brothers and sisters and kind of ask yourself, how much time and how much and in what context can I relate to them while still maintaining my sense of reality? You know, I mean, if you can be around them one-on-one or on the phone or at certain occasions, then limit your relationship to those times, because these things don't come up and it's not as difficult for you to deal with. If there are other times when you all get together and, you know, this stuff comes up and it just, you know, wrecks you for the rest of the weekend or something, you want to avoid those times, even if it causes a little more conflict. Because you need, for this time in your healing, to kind of carve out this space where you can come to terms with what really is. Once you feel more confident about that, and once you once you feel inside yourself that I know what happened to me and I am moving past it, I'm healing it because I'm aware of it and I've kind of processed all this, well, you know, then you can kind of recognize that they're just in a different place and it won't affect you quite as much. But right now, you're going to need to set those boundaries, because you won't be able to be around them without it bringing all the abuse back again and feeling like you're going through it again because they're covering for him. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does make sense. And I'm not quite sure why now in my life, you know, at 50 years old and I have my own children, my husband, who, you know, I love and they love me, that I still feel like I need that validation. And that is what I'm working on. That's what I'm praying about so hard, that I don't need anybody to validate that, because I was there, I experienced it, and it's time to move on.
Are you working? Are you working with a counselor on that by any chance?
I am.
Good.
I am.
Good, because that's what's mostly going to help you, because it's all about having a narrative, you know, being able to kind of tell yourself the story and really be sure of what that story is and be sure of, you know, what you went through and own that, because the more you can, then the more you can have that confidence that you're talking about and be able to be around the rest of your family and not be offended that they're in a different place in their journey. But right
yeah.
now, having that boundary and having a little bit of that distance is going to allow the healing that keeps getting mucked up every time you get sucked back into trying to seek their validation and approval. I got to let you go with that, Sarah, but if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to give us a call. As far as specifics and setting boundaries with them, again, our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, I think will really help you set charitable boundaries that don't cut your family off, but allow for the possibility of healing in the future, even while giving you the space that you need today to heal from the abuse that you did go through in your family of origin. Thanks again for the call. 877-573-7825. More with your calls, questions, comments, and insights on sibling revelry and the times when you're not reveling too much in those siblings when we come back after this.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. A major survey shows that nearly one of five, 20% of American Muslims, say that in the name of Islam, suicide bombing and violence against civilians can be justified. The numbers are considerably higher in other countries. Doesn't this mock the platitude that Islam is a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in the Nation Divided series at Eastern Michigan University. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will face off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Turkish columnist Mustafa Akgul claims that Islam can tolerate religious liberty. Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center says no. A young woman will share her conversion from Islam to Christianity, and rising scholar Andrew Bisat will describe Catholics who have struggled to the death against Islam. Lansing Bishop Reboyer will celebrate Mass afterwards. The $40 registration includes a box lunch. You can learn more at AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred debate and discussion will see how the common good is served by free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register today and grow your faith.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Light of the East on Ave Maria, as the summer winds down and we begin to sense the approach of autumn, it becomes a season of pilgrimage in many areas of the Eastern Lung of the Church. We will look at one such pilgrimage with our special guest, Sister Barbara Jean.
Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7 on 990 WDEO.
More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are celebrating siblings today on our Sibling Revelry show. We're talking about both adult sibling relationships that are complicated, and also parents, if you're trying to raise kids to get along with each other, and you know, they're all bickering and they're fighting with each other and fussing, you don't have to accept that. They really can learn to get along with each other now so that you don't have to wait until they're 40 for them to figure it out for themselves. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's go now to Kathy in South Dakota, listening on the Ave Maria app.
Hey there, Kathy. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi.
What's up?
I have four kids, and my oldest two are not speaking to each other.
Hmm. What happened, Kathy?
My son got married 3 years ago to his high school sweetheart, and they finished college, and then my daughter moved in with them, and they shared an apartment. And when my daughter got engaged, my daughter-in-law basically quit talking to her. She was, you know, mad at her over something, and wouldn't tell her, but expected her to fix it without knowing what the problem was. So 2 months before my daughter got married, my daughter-in-law wrote her, they moved out. My daughter-in-law wrote her a letter that said, "I don't even want to be in your wedding," and broke my daughter's heart. And so my husband and I intervened, and we asked them to forgive each other. And my daughter apologized, and my daughter-in-law threw a fit and said, "No, no, no, you don't know what I've been through," and she wouldn't accept the apology. And she asked for space. So we thought giving her space meant no phone calls and no visits. So we didn't go and visit last summer. And then we found out that after my daughter got married, she got pregnant right away. But she didn't want to tell her brother because they weren't speaking. So I texted my son and gave him the good news. And then we started getting phone calls about how upset they were that we hadn't visited them and that they had been ignoring us on purpose, and had we even noticed.
Okay. Well, all right. Kathy, first of all, I hear that, the pain in your voice, and I am so sorry that you're having to go through all this childishness from your son and your daughter.
I thought I raised my kids to love each other and to take care of each other. And It just breaks my heart that we can't even talk anymore.
Of course it does. No mother wants their family, you know, ripped apart like this. So let's talk about what we can do to try to bring some healing.
All right. Here's the thing. It seems like, you know, your daughter-in-law for sure, and possibly your son's getting caught up in this too, has got some very passive-aggressive strategies for dealing with their hurt. And so I'm going to say that it's time for you and your husband to kind of call nonsense on this whole thing and just tell your son and your daughter-in-law that you're coming for a visit and you're going to hash this out, and you're not going to take no for an answer. That you know, stay in a hotel, but make a plan to come out and spend a week and just hash this whole thing out, because this is nuts already. And the more you guys don't talk to each other, the worse it's going to get. Because all this drama of you know, your sister or your daughter-in-law writing this letter to your other daughter and all this stuff, she's basically begging, please come and take care of this and you fix this for me. And everybody else is getting the message that, you know, she's supposed to be a grown-up and, we're going to respect her boundary. Well, I think that you need to go there and just level with her and say, look, I'm here to work this out with you, but this behavior is childish. In our family, if we have a problem, we come and we talk to each other directly and we act like grown-ups. This stuff isn't going to fly. I love you. We're going to work this out. I'm coming. We're going to spend a week and we're going to fix it. And don't take no for an answer, Kathy, because that's sometimes the kind of leadership that it's going to take to set things right. I got to let you go with that. They're kicking us out. But Kathy, thanks so much for the call. Please give us a call and keep us posted on what's going on. We're going to add you guys to our More to Life prayer list. And folks, if you're struggling with this kind of family conflict, or you'd like to prevent this by helping your children get along better with each other today so that they don't act like this tomorrow, please contact us at the Pastoral Solutions Institute. You can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, and personal life and help it become everything you want it to be, everything God is calling it to be. Learn more at moretoliferadio.com or call today to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. That's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling appointment line, 740-266-6461. We'll be here tomorrow, but folks, remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Don't settle.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Is Islam a religion of peace? Can Islam tolerate democracy? We'll find out on August 10th when Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch faces off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Can Islam tolerate religious liberty? There'll be other Catholic and Muslim presenters, and Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass afterwards. It'll be August 10th on the campus of EMU, $40, a box lunch included. Go to AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201.
Did you miss the March for Life but still want to take a stand? Here's your chance. Join Arbor Vitae Women's Center as it rallies pro-life supporters for the second annual On Par for Life golf outing and dinner on Monday, August 19th at Barton Hills Country Club in Ann Arbor. Sponsorship opportunities are still available. To register, visit www.onparforlife.com or call me, Iris Proctor, Arbor Vitae's Executive Director, at 734-994-8863 for more information. Again, to register, visit www.onparforlife.com. That's onparforlife.com. Or call me, Iris Proctor, at 734-994-8863.
Arbor Vitae's Women's Center is a pregnancy counseling center located in the heart of the University of Michigan campus that provides medical services, pregnancy